How about now? No? Yep, there we go. Thank you, Jesus, for microphones. Hallelujah. I'm about to raise this microphone from the dead here. Amen. It's great to be in God's presence. Amen. Good to be just close to Him. And oh man, I just, you know, some of y'all aren't used to that. I can tell by looks on your faces. So no offense. It's not no condemnation. But, man, it's an invitation. It's an invitation when we gather in the presence of God to go into the presence, to press into Him, to engage your heart, to allow Him to draw you in. And so I just encourage you to, you have to do that more than on Sunday. When you know Jesus Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, when you gather with the people of God on Sunday, your heart is already full and you're ready to just jump into His presence. And so I encourage you throughout the week, you know, let this not be just an Easter Sunday thing. Let this not be just a Sunday thing, but get in the presence of God. Get close to Him. Worship Him. Allow Him to speak to you. Invite the Holy Spirit. Invite God's presence into your life. Amen. It's good. Hey, we had a great healing encounter night on Friday. Lots of people were touched by the Lord. Anybody got touched by God on Friday who was here? There's one. Anybody else? There's two. Anybody else? There's three. There's four and five right there. Amen. I heard several stories of God just doing all kinds of different things in bodies and hearts. And so it's just wonderful to let Him do His work. And so here at the end of our service, I want you to know if you need prayer, if you need healing in your body, if you need a touch from God, don't just leave when I say amen. Come get prayed for. See what God can do. See what God can do. Give Him a chance. give Him a shot and see what happens. He's worth more than just a shot. He's worth everything. But invite Him. Let Him test Him. Test Him in a good way. Put Him to the test. Say, God, if this is true, I'm going all in here. Well, open your Bibles to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, if you have your Bible. This, of course, is one of the accounts of the resurrection of Jesus. It's Resurrection Sunday, and we're celebrating that. And so we want to jump into the Word. There's so many different places and ways we could go with this today, but this is where I believe God has us. Let me just read this first section here. If you'll just start in verse 1, John 20 and verse 1. Holy Spirit, we just invite You to open the Word right now to us. In the name of Jesus, we welcome Your leading. We welcome You, Holy Spirit, to lead us into all truth. Open this Holy Scripture to us in Jesus' name. It says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put Him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Obviously, he was a sprinter. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who'd reached the tomb first also went inside, and he saw and believed. And they still did not understand from the Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. You know, in the early church, I want you to know this, when Jesus first started His church, their message was not just the cross. I know I've said this before because I preached Easter Sunday for, I don't know, 17 years at least now. But their message was that Jesus died and rose again and is now victorious. Have you ever heard the term Christus Victor? Anybody? Latin, right? Christ, the victor, the king, Christ, the victorious one. You know that when Jesus died and was sacrificed, and then when he rose again on the third day, there is a victory that is won. We were just singing about it. The victory is yours. There is a victory that's won. And so the disciples, they were sharing the victory of Jesus. It was like Jesus is alive. They witnessed him. They saw him. They experienced him. They actually personally witnessed him being raised from the dead. And so they were eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Jesus. And it says that Jesus appeared to over 500 people after he was raised from the dead. 500. That's how it all started. And there was 120 in an upper room. And the power of God fell. God sent his Holy Spirit, the very presence of God, into their lives. And then they begin to declare boldly, with boldness, the sacrifice of Jesus and his resurrection. They preached the cross and the resurrection. And so their message was that Jesus is alive. And so this is when they're first encountering it. But it's interesting here. It says this here in verse 9, it says this, when they first went in, you got Peter and John going in, and Peter goes in first, John just kind of stands on the outside, says, whoa, you know, what's going on here? And then Peter just rambles on in, he doesn't even look, and he just gets on in there. It says that they still did not understand from the scriptures that Jesus had to rise from the dead. You know, there are things that we will miss when we don't know the Scripture. When you don't know the Word of God, because if they had been paying attention to what had been written in the Old Testament, they would know that the Messiah, that the death was not going to have hold over him, that he was going to come back to life, that there was, you know, he was not going to see decay, that God was not going to let his Holy One see decay. Peter, in fact, preaches this about 50 days later from this very day. He understands from the scriptures that Jesus had to rise from the dead. And so the word to us today, one of the words from this scripture is this: we need to know our Holy Scripture. This is the Holy Word of God. Treat it like it's the holy word of God. Treat it like this has come down, breathed on by God himself. This is not just a book. If you read the Bible as just a book, it's got some cool stories. It's got some cool stuff. It can be entertaining. It can be challenging. It can teach you truth. It can have good principles. It can give you a podcast. You can have all kinds of stuff that comes out of the Word of God. But if you don't approach this as if this is the holy breathed Word of God sent from heaven to lead us into all truth, you might miss something. In the early church, they held the Word of God as holy. They had the Old Testament, and then the New Testament began to be written, and it was a holy thing because they believed that they were literally breathed on by God, that they were carried along by the Holy Spirit, that when God spoke, that he spoke it through men, and they wrote it down, that this is not just a human book, that this is divinely inspired, it's infallible, it's inerrant, it's true, it will forever last, and everything it says will come to pass. But they didn't get it because they didn't know it. You know, earlier on, later on in the Bible, if you turn over to Luke 24, there's an encounter that Jesus has. He appears to a couple of his disciples on the road to Emmaus. If you don't remember that account, it's in Luke 24. It starts in verse 13. And it says that these two guys were walking along to Emmaus. They had kind of heard about this Jesus being resurrected from the dead, but they were, they still weren't sure. And so this man comes up and walks beside them and says, "What are you talking about?" And they're like, "How come, they're like, "Haven't you heard what happened?" And he's, it's Jesus, but he's hiding himself from them. And he says, "Hey, what's going on? I haven't heard about it." If you don't think God likes to have fun, you got to read the Bible sometimes. So, really, what happened? And they're like, they're like, "Haven't you heard?" And he's like, "Well, what things?" And so they're like, "Well, about Jesus. There's this guy Jesus, and we thought he was the one, and he was doing these miracles and all these things. And then he came, he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, and there's this great celebration, and the whole city was stirred. And we thought that this was the time that God was going to win the victory. We thought he was going to do something amazing, but they took him and they killed him. And we kind of remember something about 3 days, but we're not sure about that thing. Now it's been 3 days. It's been more than 3 days since he was dead." It's like in the back of their mind, they were thinking, "There's something about that." Sometimes God gets your attention, There's something in the back of your mind, that you're just like, I kind of remember that that's important. They even say it here. It's like, "Yeah, it's been 3 days since he was killed." Jesus is like, "Yep, three. He's like doing this. I don't think he's really doing that. Maybe he was. I don't know. And so, then it says this in verse 24. "And then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. They said, 'He's not there.'" And Jesus is doing this again. You just said it. But this is what he says to them. Listen to this. This is serious stuff. I mean, Jesus loves these people, but he says, look, he says, "How foolish you are." Jesus ain't always nice, right? He's kind, but not nice. There's a difference. Nice means you never tell the truth, even when it hurts. Kind means you will tell the truth to someone because you love them enough to give them the truth. In love, you speak the truth in love. "How foolish you are. And how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken." What had the prophets spoken? That was written in the Holy Scriptures. What they had at that time, the Holy Scriptures, was the Old Testament. "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Just as an FYI, you can find the story of Jesus in the Old Testament. He's sprinkled throughout. In fact, Jesus even said, before he was killed, he said to the religious people, he says, "Hey, you search the scriptures, but they're all talking about me. They're all pointing to me." Because that's the whole story of the Bible, is to point to the time when God would send his son. His son would become a human being, and all of history would hinge upon those moments, that life, and then that death, and that sacrifice, and then that resurrection. Everything hinged on that moment. And so God wasn't like, "Well, we're not going to talk about that till we get there." No, he sprinkled all of these prophetic scriptures and all these pictures and these symbols and these truths and working through his people to show them Jesus. And Jesus actually says to them, "You should have believed it, because I already said it. It's already been written down. It's already been spoken, but you didn't hear it." So my challenge to you, one of my challenges today, is to get in the Word of God and know what's in here. We had a men's retreat last week. How many guys went to that? Who's still here? Who came back next week? Okay, good. What was the theme? What was kind of the theme of the retreat, right? Was one of the most dangerous things that can harm us is ignorance. Not knowing what God has already said and done. That if we live in ignorance to what He's already said and done, then we're more susceptible to be deceived or to be led down a wrong path or to be apathetic or to whatever, to be in bondage or some kind of stronghold in our life if we live in ignorance and not understand what God has already given us. It says in the Bible that God sends the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit reveals all the things that Christ Jesus has done for us. If you're a believer in Jesus, then He's already done all this stuff, and He's already won the victory. As Felicia so rightfully stated earlier, that this was when Jesus said it is finished, He's like, hey, we're done here. This is the victory cry. The war is over. I've won everything right now. And now we're going to work out that victory. We're going to see that victory come to pass. We're going to see it come in life by life by life by life as I pass on the truth of my word and my victory, my sacrifice to each and every person, man, woman, boy, and girl in all of creation. But sometimes we're just foolish and slow to believe because we don't know the Word of God. Read it as if it's the Word of God. Read it as if it's sent straight from heaven for you. What if we read our Bibles like that? If we're like, this is the Word of God. Straight from heaven, from God to me right now. I know I'm preaching a little bit hard today, a little less nice, Pastor John, today. Kind, but not nice. They did not yet understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. So that also meant He had to be dead. He had to be killed. You can't rise from the dead unless you're dead, right? I mean, just, right? So all the stuff that they were scared of, disappointed in, upset, angry, grieving, fearful, all the stuff that they were dealing with in that moment was exactly what had to happen in order for God to release His plan. You can just apply that to your own life however you would like. You know, God's way of winning a victory is way different than ours. There's an old song or catechism that I came across this past week. And it says this: by death, death has been trampled. Isn't that interesting? By death, death has been trampled. By death, death has been cast down. By death, He hath trampled death. You're like, how can death beat death? Sounds like an even match right there, right? How can death beat death? Not killing. See, now the way the world works, right, is force, is power, is I conquer you, and that's how I win a victory, right? That's how all of history has been, with nations rising up against nations and people. It's the ones who are powerful who overcome their enemies by sheer force, by putting them down. But God did it a different way. He said, I'm going to put myself down rather than put my enemies down. Those who have walked away from me, those who become my enemies by, you know, it says we were enemies in our mind before we came to know the Lord. If you're not a believer in Jesus, you're an enemy of God. You can pretend all you want that you're all right, but you're an enemy of God. You are not right with God until you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We're not all children of God. Every human being is not a child of God. It's not true. Only those who believe are children of God. You have to believe. You have to go through the cross. You have to go through Jesus Himself in order to be a child of God. But the good news is, everybody's invited. That's good news. That's why it's the good news. Hey, you who are far away, now He's wanting to bring you near. You who've walked away, He said, come on back. You who spit in His face, He said, guess what? I'm going to wipe it off and forgive you and give you love. Because I'm going to use death. I'm going to lay down my life so that you can live. And in my life, you will live. You know, in the Old Testament, I'd never made this connection before. So hopefully at least more than just Pastor Jerry will be excited about this. Okay? You know, there's some crazy stories in the Old Testament. Anybody ever read the Old Testament? Right? There's some wild stuff going on. First of all, it just tells you how crazy human beings are, right? You think right now it's crazy? Just open the Old Testament and go, whoa, yeah, nope, it's not new. It's just different. It's just modern. It's not new. It just looks a little bit different. You know, we've got more technology, but we're still doing a lot of the same things in our world, right? And so in the Old Testament, it says that they would worship other gods. They would honor these idols. And there it says in the New Testament there were actually forces of evil behind these idols and stuff. So there was people, you know, workers, demons, workers of iniquity, workers of Satan, that would try to come in and influence people and get those people to worship them instead of God. Because that's the devil's whole shtick, right? Is he wants the worship. He wants your life. He wants you to follow him and honor him because he's not God. And he became prideful and fell, was kicked out of heaven. And so all of his little followers, they just do the same thing. All they want is they want another human. They want a human to bow their knee to them instead of Jesus. And it's interesting, there's some really like crazy stories in the Old Testament. It says where some of these kings, they were kings and they were led astray to following other gods other than the one true God. And it says they were fighting a battle. And then it says one of them at different times, it says, and then they offered their own son and they sacrificed their own physical child to a false god. So they can gain what? The victory. See, the devil has always been trying to counterfeit and clone and somehow, you know, do what's in God's heart. You know, like he takes truth and he perverts it. He just twists it up. See, the difference is this. When Jesus came, you know, God wasn't forcing Jesus to come. He didn't, you know, you can say that sounds like the same thing. God sacrificed his son to win the victory, right? Some people have even said, oh, look, God's a child abuser. I mean, there's whole theologies going on where people are trying to get all weird with stuff where they're like, oh, well, if the father was killing his own son, like, isn't that child abuse? It's different because what? Jesus was a willing participant, right? Jesus willingly, you know, he had even that last little bit in the Garden of Gethsemane. It says that Jesus says, Father, is there any other way? And obviously the answer was no. And he said, okay, not my will, but yours be done. And then Jesus said, I will go. I will take it upon myself to be the sacrifice that's needed so that my lost people can be brought home, so that death can be killed forever. It's good news that death is defeated, by the way. I love Easter. I love the resurrection celebration. We should probably talk about it a little bit more throughout the year. Amen. just be reminded that Jesus is alive. But it's a good thing to sit here and celebrate once a year and be reminded of the resurrection of Jesus. You know, if you've lost somebody who's a believer in Jesus, death did not have the final word. That's good news. You know, the resurrection meant more to me after I lost my mom than it did before. Because now it's personal. When it's personal, you're like, thank you, Jesus, that you kicked the you-know-what out of death. That's good news.
Amen.
Because we got a world that's scared to die. I mean, look at all the crazy ways people go to stay alive. You want to get somebody to see what they really believe, let them get a death diagnosis. You'll see what somebody really believes when somebody says, now's the time, your time's up. Do you believe in Jesus or is it just a religion? If it's Jesus, then you're like one of my professors in Bible college. He was diagnosed with cancer, I believe, of some sort. We all went up to pray for him. And I don't even know if this jives with my theology, but this was his experience. He's like, we went up, we're all, oh, no, we can't lose Professor. You know, he's, no, God's not going to do this. We're going to come in and we're gonna pray for him and we're going to see him do this amazing thing. And we came in, he's like, I'm ready to go. He wasn't scared one bit. I mean, he was a cool guy too. I mean, they dropped him off in the jungle out of a helicopter into a tribe of cannibals. Like they actually ate people, like really. It's like, what's for dinner? Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Human, human, human. What's for Easter dinner today? Same thing as yesterday, guys. Our rival tribe, baby. But they dropped him from an airplane into this thing, and he lived among them, learned their language, and when he left, 97% of them became believers in Jesus. And he also didn't get eaten. Obviously. But he knew death was beaten. He knew that death did not have the final word in his life. Because he knew that by death, death has been trampled. Jesus invites us in to carry our cross, though. He invites us to a death. He invites us to die to ourselves. You know, the way of following Jesus, part of the time, yeah, it's joy, but part of the time, it's painful. It's a death. Paul said, I die daily. I'm dying to myself daily. There is pain. There is sacrifice. There is stuff in my life. But I am continuing to say, I am walking this path for you, O Lord, because you walked it for me. You've gone before me. You have paid the price so that I can walk in it, that I don't have to literally carry my own cross, that you really did carry the cross for me. Verse 11 of John 20. We're going to keep going here just a little bit longer. We'll finish this up. It says, now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, woman, why are you crying? They've taken my Lord away, she says, and I don't know where they have put him. Excuse me. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. This happened a lot after Jesus was raised from the dead, so obviously there was a little bit of difference about the way he looked or he could hide himself. One of those two things. So Jesus asked her, woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, because yeah, that's who should be there on Sunday, right? The gardener. She said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I'll get him. Have you ever, do you think about the Bible when you read it? I do. I just thought about it right now. She wants to carry the dead body. Felicia, God, I could see it in your face, Felicia. You're like, I'd be like, brother, can you bring it back in and put it in here? I ain't touching that. I'm sorry. I don't know. Anyway, let me erase that from your memory. Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you put him, and I'll drag him back in here. Put that in the book, son. Jesus said to her, Mary. As soon as she heard her name, she turned around toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. You know, there's a part of this that I want to bring out, and I want to do it very, very gently. And I want to give it a little bit of a disclaimer. So I'm not speaking to you. There are many of you in our church body who've just recently lost loved ones. So this is not applying directly to that. So I just want to clear that up. But the word, as I was reading this over and over again, both the angels and Jesus asked Mary, why are you crying? Why are you crying? And here's the reality. Mary was in a point of grief where she had no reason for grief. Okay, you see why I gave the disclaimer? If you have a reason for grief, you're still walking through grief. First of all, I'm not asking you why you're crying. I'm being very, very sensitive to that. And I think Jesus is very sensitive to that. But there is also a time where God comes to us, not me, where God comes to you and says, why are you still crying? I've already taken care of this. Why are you still crying? I mean, have you ever had that thing that you just keep going back to? Maybe it's your own failure, you know? Maybe it's not like a, it could be a point of hurt, it could be a point of whatever, but there's a time when Jesus is inviting us to realize the truth that he is greater than that grief. That he's greater than that pain. That he conquered everything. That he really did win. That he really is the answer. That the answer for Mary was not to have the dead body of Jesus back in the tomb. I mean, that's what she was asking for. She's like, I mean, it's such a small ask compared to the truth of what God had already done for her. How sometimes we are just asking for so little. When he says, I want to give it all. Can I just have the dead body back? And Jesus is like, actually, I just want you to know that I am here. And in fact, it's not just for you right now. This is for all eternity. Like this is way bigger than this moment. Sometimes God needs to get our attention because it's way bigger than the moment we're in. We're stuck in the past, and he's inviting us into his present and his future. He's inviting us into the reality of him beating death, of him as the resurrected Christ, in him as the King of Kings, as him who is really the answer. Why are you crying? If Jesus has risen from the dead, did she have a reason to cry? No. Again, do I need to remind you? There's healthy grief, there's time for grief, there's a time to weep, there's all those things. So this is not talking about that. But there are things in our past that God is telling us it's time to quit crying about them. It's probably somebody else. It's probably not you, right? Those people that like keep talking about, oh yeah, back when, back when, back when. And they never stop talking about back when this thing happened. Whether it's something they did or something someone else did or something that happened, whatever, that there, it's always the back when. And I think the Lord sometimes has to just wake us up and say, why are you still crying about that? It's time to move on into new life. It's time to move on into hope. It's time to move on into joy. It's time to move on into victory. You're believing less than what Jesus has paid for. Can go back to receiving and understanding what has already been written in the Scriptures. If you know what God has promised, then you know what to believe. If you don't know what He's promised, you can't believe because you don't know. How can you believe in something that you don't know about? Thank you, Lord. I think I'm going to stop there. There was more I was going to go into, but I think the Lord is wanting us to respond to Him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let's just close our eyes right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, can you, Narda and Felicia, come on up. Pick something out to play. Thank you, Father. I just want you to just engage the Lord right now for just a minute. I want you to invite Him to speak to you just right now where you're at. Just Holy Spirit, we just invite you to speak to me. If there's anything in your past that you need to just let go, that you need to just once and for all just say, I'm done with that. To say, I'm done. I'm done with this. I am leaving it here today. I just want you right where you're at just to quietly just say, Lord, I give this to you. Lord, I just give this to you right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just right where you're at. Just continue to let Him work on your heart. There's a few of you definitely that God's working on. Might even seem small, but whatever God brings to your mind, just lay it at His feet this morning. Say, Lord, I just trust you with this. I trust you with this, O Lord. I give it to you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, I just pray for every single person who is interacting with you right now. I pray that they would experience you speaking their name. Just as Jesus spoke Mary's name, and then she realized everything changed in that moment when she heard Jesus speak her name. Father, I pray for every single person that they would hear you speak in their hearts right now. When you speak, everything changes. We need to hear what you have to say, O Lord. And so we thank you for releasing that in our hearts right now. Thank you for the Word of God being released, the message of heaven being released into hearts this morning. Lord, we choose to surrender to you, God. We choose to trust you. We choose to believe. We choose to receive the reality of new life. Father, I thank you for those who've experienced any kind of death, whether it's death of a dream, death of a loved one, death of an opportunity, whatever it is, something feels like it's died in your life. And right now, Jesus is saying, I want to give you new life. But I don't want to give you just a dead body. I don't want to give you just the little bit you've been asking for. I want to give you so much more. It says in the scriptures that he can do beyond what we can ask or imagine. Stop asking for so little. Some of you have just been praying, if I can just survive this. And I feel like the Lord is just saying, like, I don't want you to just survive. I want you to walk in supernatural victory. I want you to rise above and soar on wings like eagles. I want you to celebrate and be full of joy, not just kind of make it through. Jesus, you didn't call us just to make it through. You called us to walk in victory. It's a walk of suffering, but it's a suffering where we walk in victory, where we go from glory to glory, where we are filled with the presence, the very presence of God, that we have the life of God in us, that our mortal bodies, it says in the book of Romans, that we are quickened, God, our bodies are quickened because of the power of the resurrection, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken your body. And I speak to these bodies that need quickening, and I say, wake up, be whole in Jesus' name. Be whole in Jesus' name. Be healed. Hearts, be healed in Jesus' name. Minds, be healed in Jesus' name. Those who have confusing thoughts, be healed in Jesus' name. Those with doubts, let faith arise in Jesus' name. Those with impurity in their minds, be cleansed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. You've won the victory, oh God. We're going to celebrate that. We're going to thank you for that. We're going to live in it, God. Let us live in it. Let us not just talk about it. Let us live in the victory that you have for us, Father. That you conquered death and you beat sin and you beat the devil too. So we're not going to give him credit that the devil's getting all this, he's doing all this stuff. I don't care what the devil's going to do. Jesus is Lord of my life. And no weapon formed against me will prosper. It doesn't say the weapon won't be formed. It says it won't prosper. So when those weapons come, I'm believing it will not prosper. It will not have the final say. Jesus, you have the final say over my life. I belong to you. You bought me with your blood. I belong to you, Jesus. My life is in your hands. I trust you, oh God. Thank you, Father. Let's all stand. Can I have the prayer team come on up? Prayer team coming up. Just as we worship, if you need someone to pray for you, if you need whatever you need in your life, you just say, God touched me. I just want someone to still pray for me. Fine. Just come up and let's pray and celebrate that together. If you still need something, if you've got anything in your body, mind, heart, and soul that needs a miracle, then don't leave here. Lunch can wait a few minutes. It's not even lunchtime yet. Don't leave here without inviting God, inviting Jesus Himself to minister to what you need. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. So just go ahead and worship. If you need prayer, come on up. Thank you, Lord.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. I know there is peace within His presence. I speak Jesus. And I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold. shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus, oh, 'cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Your name is power, your name. Every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within His presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus, 'cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Reclaim it. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus, oh, your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Yes, it is. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Oh, we shout your name, shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my holy name of Jesus. Your name is power, your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. You break every stronghold, break every stronghold, shine through the shadows. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Your name is healing. Your name is life.
Thank you, Lord.
Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire.
Thank you, Lord. Let's just give God praise right now. Jesus, we honor you. Jesus, we just speak your name right now. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, the name above every name. The name above every name. Thank you, Lord. Is there anybody in here that's brave enough to say, I need to give my heart to Jesus today. I've never made Jesus my Lord and my Savior. Is there anybody here? Wave your hand at me right now. Wait. Don't walk that far. Thank you, Jesus. Bring me back up, sir. Yeah. Anybody here who needs that? Is there anybody? Am I missing somebody? Somebody wave at me if I'm missing. Okay. Okay. Just want to make sure. Believing that everybody here is a child of the King. If not, He is drawing you. He is loving you. He is coming after you. He's going to continue to show love until you come home. So, Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to be in your presence, God. We thank you for this opportunity to speak the name of Jesus and to lift high your name, God. You said when you are lifted up, you'll draw all men to yourself. And so we thank you, Lord, that we've lifted you up. Lord, we have been drawn to you this morning, God. We have been drawn closer to you, Father. And we pray that this would not just be something that we do for 2 hours, but we're going to be drawn to you, Lord, tomorrow afternoon, God. We're going to be drawn to you Tuesday morning, God. We're going to be drawn to be close to you, closer than we've ever been before. Why not? We're not believing for just a little bit. We're believing for a lot. We're believing for it all, Lord. And so we thank you for that. God, help us believe for more. Help us believe for more. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. If you still need prayer, come on up. We'll still pray for you. If not, just love on one another and bless each other. And tell each other He's risen indeed.